Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer. David Faber's on assignment. S&P's within about 4% of a closing high, but futures are weak as the Kremlin downplays any notion of a breakthrough at this week's ceasefire talks. VIX, though, still below 20. Our roadmap begins with some recession risks, the bond market sounding that alarm, and a pretty stark warning from the CEO of Restoration Hardware last night. Plus, rallying like it's 03, Apple is eyeing a $3 trillion market cap once again. And Micron rallying on this optimistic guide. We're going to talk to Sanjay Mehrotra in just a few moments. We're going to start, though, with the markets and recession risks. This is what RH CEO Gary Friedman had to say about the Fed, about inflation, on his company's earnings call.
I just wonder if anybody at the Fed has picked up the phone and called a business person and said, hey, what do you think's happening with inflation? How's ocean rates? How's this? How's that? I mean, you know, I don't think anybody really understands what's coming from an inflation point of view, because either businesses are going to make a lot less money or they're going to raise their prices. And I don't think anybody really understands how high prices are going to go everywhere, in restaurants, in, you know, cars and everything. I think it's going to outrun the consumer. And I think, you know, we're going to be in some tricky space.
It's actually part of a much longer, almost bizarre answer in which he references The Big Short and all kinds. But the bottom line is, Jimmy says, it's the toughest guide since maybe 08, 09.
Right. He was Allman Brothers rambling man conference call. I love Gary. Shot him an email because he's talking about, like, you know, it's kind of like the rich are not like you or me. He actually talks about who can afford this stuff. Now, I'll say that he did say that business has fallen off pretty dramatically since the war began. There's also an existential component, which basically I could have said that he said that rich people are worried about being about the atomic bomb, so they're holding back. But what he mainly is talking about, and he's been ranting about this for a long time and done a lot about it, is the stuff that Jay Powell, I think, now agrees with, which is that, you know, we got to find a way to be able to cut things. So if people did pick up the phone and call Jay, like if you were to do that, I think Jay would say, listen, I everything you said, I know, and I'm doing my best, but it's very hard to stop. Now, the one thing Gary does have is he caters to the ultra rich, and the ultra rich are doing quite well. So he's just introduced a new look for a yacht. He's introducing a place in London that I'm trying to get into because my sister-in-law is over there, which is just a gorgeous baby mansion museum. And I think he's going to do fine. He gave you a 3-for-1 split. I don't know what that's necessarily worth, but I bet you Gary buys. I bet you he buys stock within the next month.
Well, he's going to sell some as part of a...
Right, yes, do an option thing.
Yes.
But I think he can do it so that in the end he's longer than we thought.
Yeah. Jefferies does come to RH's defense today. The 50% cut in the multiples excessive. Moderation in luxury real estate's baked in. March data, Jim, suggests million-dollar homes are not doomed. Their target's 560. Would be 40% upside.
I like that. I also just find... You know, he's doing this Bethlehem Steel place, historic Bethlehem Steel place in San Francisco. He's got the guest houses in New York. He's doing amazing things. The luxury yacht will be available. I actually tried to get, I mean, you could rent these yachts. And they're very competitive. I mean, he's just basically saying, look, this is the way it looks. It's not out there to sell the yacht. Like, you can decorate your yacht like that. I do not have a yacht. But overall, what I thought on the conference call was like, I think that Gary was upset. Upset by the last few weeks and how he was doing. And I wish Gary had been less rambling because he's a fabulous CEO. And I think you could distill what he said into about, like, maybe
sure.
Cliff Notes.
Yeah. By the way, 3-for-1 split as we continue to be on split
right,
watch.
Right.
If he had called Powell, wouldn't Powell's answer be Sure, I can raise rates. How's it going to affect or help production in Shanghai?
Well, then at the same point, he's like saying, listen, if you raise rates, our business is going to do very poorly. So he references Yellen four times and Powell twice. So he should call Yellen first because he was really hard on Yellen in this call. I think that Gary is really upset about what you're talking about. We can't control in the same way that McCormick, I mean, the spice company was on last night. Lawrence Kirstein is talking about how the trucks. We can't control trucks. And some of the things with the ports and trucks seem very intractable. And yes, things are going up. I was talking to Jason Gerwitz. I don't know if you know Jason's stuff. He's been doing amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And I was talking about my restaurant, which I'm now transferring, but it'll be a later story. That everything is up 30%. And I just don't know who would ever be such a knucklehead as to open up a restaurant right now. It's too expensive. Unless you have scale. And then you can tell some of these suppliers to stick it. But when you're at Bar San Miguel, you're getting stuck.
You think that's why there's been such emphasis on unit growth at Chipotle, at Yum, some of these other?
They can talk to suppliers and say, listen, that one's not going through. But when you've got your carting and hauling bill and it goes from $300 to $400, which is really, that's basic, small to medium-sized business, and you say, look, I'm not taking that price increase. So they say, well, go elsewhere. I mean, how do you charge? You can't charge $9 for beer, not when you can get a $6 for much less than that. So everybody's bumping up against the DoorDash problem, which is that people are staying at home. That's what Lawrence Kurtz has talked about yesterday, McCormick. Gary's dead right. I mean, we're not in a great shape, but we are in the stock market. We're not in the 2 and the 10. We're not in the what's going to happen to certain people buying really beautiful stuff from our age. We're in a market which just says there's a lot of opportunity, and I don't really care what Gary says. Even as Gary, I think, is going to be right.
Reminds me of what Ed Yardeni said last night. Still a bull market.
Yes.
Downside might have been 4,200. Upside, he thinks, 5,000. Range next year, 5,000 to 6,000.
Yep, and you retweeted that, and I thought, yeah. I mean, I know Ed for a long time, and Ed has been someone who's been preternaturally bullish, which, by the way, has been dead right. And if you were to do Wilson versus Yardini, I'd go with Yardini.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
By the way, as part of our Delivering Alpha investor survey, there was a question about what the biggest threat to the market is. Number one answer, Federal Reserve misstep, followed by inflation, Jim, then Russian aggression, and then China and a resurgence of COVID.
Well, I'd take off the table misstep by Jay. This has been, he has been denigrated by the media and by money managers for way too long. I'm not worried about him at all. I am concerned about the idea that we thought that the Russians were done with Kyiv when what they did in Grozny was the exact same thing. When they decided to destroy Chechnya in order to save it. Now, that was a Russian republic, kind of like this. What they did was they say, listen, we're going to, like, back off. Putin comes in, we're going to back off. And then they just let the women and children go, and they leveled the city. Not unlike what we did with Fallujah, except for the fact that we're the good guys.
Brett Stevens today in The Times argues, what if Putin did not miscalculate? What if...
I thought that was a fabulous piece.
The whole idea would have been to get control of the energy-rich part of eastern Ukraine,
right,
which is... what may happen still.
Right. I thought that piece is a must read. I really and truly believe that people don't understand, other than Zelensky, that the Russians have been addicted to artillery ever since 1942. It works for them. Tanks, not as much. And when you have artillery and the other side doesn't have the ability to spot it or bomb it, then it's unassailable. And you can just lob missiles from now to kingdom come. Grozny, after Putin was finished with it, the UN voted it the most leveled city in the world. I did not know they had that particular nomenclature, but yeah, there was nothing left of Grozny when he finished.
And then today, Zelensky's on the tape suggesting that Russia will be sending in new forces. There's still a lot of skeptics, Petraeus among them. How do they do that, given some of the broken supply chains?
I'm surprised that General Petraeus, who's a man I greatly admire, doesn't realize or has not studied what happened in World War II. They always have more divisions. Hitler misunderstood the divisions. Stalin explained the divisions. He knew that he had a lot more than a lot of other people, and it's not 10 to 1. It's whatever he wants it to want.
Right.
Putin is able to conscript the nation. Yeah. He has to.
Jim was skeptical yesterday when we were getting excited about the talks.
He's just a man of, his promises are meaningless. Yeah.
when we come back this morning. Micron's chief Sanjay Mehrotra on the better than expected guidance lifting his company stock. A lot of talk about data center. Some comments today from Taiwan Semi as well about consumer electronics beginning to slow perhaps. We'll talk to Sanjay about that in a moment as futures are red on this Wednesday morning. Don't go anywhere.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Shares of Micron trading higher this morning. Chipmaker's second quarter earnings and outlook topped expectations. I love these numbers. Joining us now in a CNBC exclusive is Micron CEO Sanjay Mehrotra. Sanjay, you delivered again, and they keep underestimating you. What's going on here?
First of all, Jim, great to be on your show. Micron delivered an excellent quarter. Our team really executed well in the face of pandemic-related supply chain challenges. We delivered a strong results in data center, record quarter in automotive, and of course, strength in cloud as well as enterprise and desktop PCs related memory storage solutions. And we are building really strong momentum with respect to our technology execution, technology leadership, and product portfolio expansion. And this is what is positioning us to guide to a record quarter for our current quarter here in terms of revenues, solid profitability, and we are well on our way in terms of delivering a record year for the company in our fiscal year 22 with robust profitability.
Well, Sanjay, I know that we could talk about data center growing 60%. You're doing unbelievably enterprise, but you know what? They always want to focus on whatever's wrong. So let's just focus on PCs for a moment. I mean, PCs are not that great, and I could focus on enterprise versus PC and say that your stock should be sold. I think that that's incorrect narrative, but could you help explain to people that you're more than just a PC chip maker?
So first of all, Jim, absolutely, we are a broad-based supplier into many end markets from data center to smartphones to PCs to automotive to industrial, and we see strong demand trends for memory and storage in all of these markets. Within PC, enterprise and desktop PCs with hybrid work and return to the office are actually doing well. And keep in mind, that's a favorable mix for us because those are content-hungry applications for PCs. Enterprise PCs and desktop PCs require more memory and storage. Automotive, another strong, one of the fastest growth markets. 100 electric vehicles expected to be introduced globally. And those are like data center on wheels. You know, the content of memory and storage in these vehicles is going up 15 times from standard vehicles. And just think about it. There are 90 million or so vehicles sold worldwide on a pre-pandemic basis. That's six times higher than even servers. So we are in multiple markets, 5G phones driving strong content growth as well.
Also, I have to tell you, you become the leader in trying to get our country to be competitive when it comes to building plants here. Now, yesterday, the Senate passed the $52 billion, and we know the House has, and we're apparently trying to reconcile the two. Could you reconcile the two for us and get this done right now?
I think it is really important that we reconcile between Senate and House and get the CHIPS Act across the finish line. Investment tax credits are equally important as well, because these are needed to really bridge the gap with what has been going on in Asia, with the governments there supporting the growth of semiconductor industry over the last couple of decades. US needs to catch up. We will catch up with CHIPS passing, as well as investment tax credits getting in place over time. These will support the growth of semiconductor manufacturing, which is essential. We all have learned from the environment of COVID how important it is to have resilient domestic supply chain. So Micron, of course, we have manufacturing here in the US in Manassas. We have a global footprint of manufacturing as well that really served us well during the pandemic, despite tremendous amount of challenges in serving the needs of our customers well. So I really absolutely continue to support the Biden administration, Secretary D'Amando, and the bipartisan coalition on Capitol Hill in terms of driving for passage of CHIPS and investment tax credits. These are critically important for US leadership in semiconductors. And Micron announced last year that we'll be investing over $150 billion over the course of the decade in leading edge manufacturing and R&D. And we have an opportunity, as we look at second half of this decade demand, to bring more semiconductor memory manufacturing onshore. And as the only US supplier of semiconductor memory and storage, I think we are well poised to continue to assure US leadership in semiconductors related to memory.
Sanjay, production's important, but so are raw materials. You gave some reassuring comments a few weeks ago about, say, the supply of neon out of Ukraine. Is that more at risk now the longer this conflict has gone on?
We highlighted that we have some supply coming from the Ukraine region, but we have a well-diversified supplier base from Asia, from other parts of Europe, as well as from the US. And of course, we work with those suppliers to assure supply chain continuity with respect to the minerals, as well as materials and other components that are needed for semiconductor manufacturing. We have done really a good job in terms of diversifying our supplier base over the course of last few years. We have long-term agreements with them, as well as we have strong inventory in place. So we believe that we will not see an impact in terms of production output. But of course, as has been noted by many others in the industry, and it's a common challenge to everybody, the inflation related, as well as the pandemic related and Russia-Ukraine war related, costs are going up with respect to manufacturing. However, Micron, we believe, will outpace the rest of the semiconductor memory industry in terms of cost reductions because of our leadership today in both DRAM as well as in NAND technology. We are several quarters ahead of many others in the industry in ramping up into production these most advanced technologies. That positions us well for cost leadership, not just this year, but with our roadmap, we are well positioned in the future as well. So leveraging that technology base, along with an expanding product portfolio and accelerating momentum with new products, new solutions in the data center space, as well as addressing other parts of the markets, we believe we are well poised for growth.
Well, Sanjay, I thought you gave us an optimistic outlook about the whole industry in terms of supply chain problems. After I finished your conference call, I said, you know what? Maybe some of these areas where we keep hearing, say, the auto companies, that they can't get chips, maybe that shortage is getting better. Am I too optimistic?
So we do think that overall the shortages are getting better as we move through calendar year 22. But we also said that in certain parts of the markets, in certain parts of the semiconductor industry, and some of the shortages do still continue, and we see those continuing into 2023. So overall, yes, shortages are easing in most areas, but in some areas they are still continuing and will continue to challenge the industry into 2023 as well.
Well, okay, so let's just take that out a step further. There are a couple companies that make those chips. Why haven't they broken ground with you? Why haven't they contacted Lam Research and gotten the chips, the machines they need? What are with these companies? Are they all afraid of something? Like that maybe after they put all the merchandise in and spend all the money that there'll be a surplus? A surfeit, as the analysts are always worried about your DRAM?
Well, the industry has, of course, been investing in expanding capacity and in increasing production. Look at Micron. We are investing in our CapEx at the record level in fiscal year 22, of course, being very prudent, making sure that our supply growth is in line with demand growth. And we have been successful in continuing to fulfill the requirements of our customers. But there are shortages with respect to some of the foundry products, as well as with respect to some analog legacy components. Those shortages, while they're improving, still taking a little longer than what we originally thought. Industry, of course, continues to make investments, but you know that it takes a while before there is production output because of the long lead times that is there. And certainly some of the equipment supply deliveries are getting pushed out as well. Micron team has done a great job in managing it. And that's why we said that for the year, we see that our supply growth will be in line with our prior expectations because we have been successful in continuing to manage our technology transition and successful product introductions.
All right, Sanjay, I do wish that you've been up there with the State of the Union address with Pat Gelsinger because you've been spending here a long time, but you are too modest to be able to say that you belonged up there too. I want to thank you for coming on Squawk on the Street and giving us an excellent look on the industry that too many people are way too negative on. Because that is their nature. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jim.
Sanjay Mehrotra, who runs Micron and is a humble winner.
Yeah, we're going to watch shares of Micron at the open today. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash and we'll count down to the opening bell. Still some other earnings to get to, including Chewy and Lulu and PVH and some interesting calls on Disney, Netflix, Rivian and Apple. We're back in a moment.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
A lot of discussion yesterday about that chart right there, the 210 spread. Did it in fact invert for just a moment? Different databases differ to have an opinion on that. But right now, looking at about 9 points, as we continue to look for clues about recessionary risk in the year ahead. Opening bell coming up in just about 5 minutes. It's time for Cramer's Mad Dash as we count down to the opening bell.
You know, I got to tell you, Carl, I know that the Chewy CEO is going to book closing bell, which will be fun. And the reason why it'll be fun is because it was such a huge miss that we really need to find out what's going on. Now, I want to caution people at home. When you go over the comms call, the company's head almost nothing bad to say. They just talked about how one vintage of people have not bought as much. But the company's losing a lot of money, and the analysts are getting more and more concerned. Not the company itself. The company's quite confident that perhaps the losses here are, let's say, kind of endemic. And one of the reasons why they're endemic, and they did not mention the call, and I think that was a big mistake, is that, woof, PetSmart has really come on very strong. And this is this new dynamic. You need omnichannel. You need brick and mortar. One of the things that I like about PetSmart, they have vets. And Chewy obviously does not have vets because it's online. So let's find out how Chewy reverses this. But they have to admit that there are problems. And they just didn't want to. They just talked about one bit of softness. Everything else was great. They're losing a lot of money, Carl. So the companies that are losing a lot of money, they had a good day yesterday. They had a good day the day before. It's long in the tooth after 2 days running.
Yeah, it was a wider than expected loss. SG&A up 35. Gross margins down. A lot of that is supply chain, labor costs, new initiatives.
And they claim they have this new hub, and they claim they have this FedEx deal, and they claim this, and they claim that. I mean, the fact is, the dogs won't eat it. They want PetSmart. And I think that when you think about that, there is a resurgence of brick and mortar. Because you can buy, you can get it delivered to your car, you can check out the vet, they have grooming. So I think it may be just something which says, this was great, oh boy, they're going to hate this. This was great during a pandemic, not as great after pandemic.
active customers up about 7 over at Shoei. There's the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange at the big board. It is Big Bear AI, provider of AI-powered analytics and engineering, celebrating a recent listing at the NASDAQ at SolarEdge Technologies, doing the honors.
I wish that we had really pushed Sanjay on AI and machine learning. His chips work. Now, that is an NVIDIA bailiwick. And it's not like Sanjay's going to come on and say, you know what, I really think NVIDIA is a great company. But that's their strength. These guys probably just know exactly how great Jensen Huang is when it comes to what they study.
Well, a lot of discussion this morning about end demand. We mentioned Taiwan Semi saying they're beginning to see a slowdown in some consumer electronics. Apple, though, today, Wamsi Mohan of B of A, looks at trade-in prices and suggests there's no slowdown in demand.
I thought that was a terrific report. Remember, there's a lot more to Apple than what we used to do. It's not handset sales. It's revenue streams. It's used trade-in. And I know the stock has had a historic run here. And I know there's a lot of analysts who jumped off it during that little cul-de-sac, if not crevasse. I will say that I think that when you open up Shanghai, and it will be opened up, then people are going to say, wow, looks like demand has returned. And don't forget, they have direct-to-consumer there, too. So I just think that the people who are dumping on Apple right here are kind of saying, wow, you know what? I've had a big run. Maybe it's time for me. I don't want to overstay my welcome. But they were sunshine patriots, to quote my friend Thomas Paine. They always were, right?
Apple is going for 12 straight wins today. That would tie the longest ever. Last time and only time it happened was back in 2003. By the way, we're on watch for a $3 trillion market cap at 183.83 would be the magic price.
I think the company is the foremost technology company of our time that is producing a delivery system that makes it so that you subscribe to many different things. I also think, by the way, that one thing that's going to come about this quarter is you may actually see Apple Plus play a bit of a role. Now, Tim Cook has always been, I mean, this is a very self-effacing man. I mean, even if Duke wins the tournament, I do not think he will say that Duke's the best team. Whoever Duke beats, he will say was a great team. Because that's the way he plays. Supposed to Eddie Q will trash talk anybody who's number two. But I do think that that when you watch some of Apple Plus programming, you see where they're going. The revenue streams here are just more, you have to have things backed up. There's many things that I find I take in Apple. I read. And by the way, the App Store, forget it. I just buy it in the App Store. I just am sick and tired of trying to go to I bought a newspaper, a British newspaper, in the App Store because I couldn't figure out how to do it on theirs.
It's called consumer friction.
Yes.
We don't like it.
I'm an App Store guy. When I was into Street.com, I started the company. I wanted it to be all up Apple because I couldn't get through our own. I mean, forget it. Apple's really easy, and they have my card. I did it yesterday. My credit card, my American Express, was hacked, okay? I'm in an Uber. $270 to go like around the block. What is that about? And I just I'll put it on Apple Pay. I mean, what the heck?
Yep, it's definitely
right
easy.
There.
I actually thought about you yesterday because you've long said own it, don't trade it.
Yes.
But this last 2 weeks, where if you sold into weakness, the doors closed on you almost immediately.
Well, that often is what happens. It, you know, here's your hat, what's your hurry, and don't let the door hit you on the way out. The people who don't like Apple continue to think that it's a handset story. They don't understand it's a holistic story. Now, one of the reasons they don't is because, to some degree, Apple just says, look, can't you figure that out yourself? I mean, you know.
You mean no owner's manual?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, think about what you do. You go on, you use the App Store, but you know, I mean, there's some new thing. I mean, I have the watch yesterday, and I've got the face of my wife. And, of course, someone criticized that on mentions. They said, oh, like, what is that, you and your wife on your watch? Hey, last I looked, that was kind of a decent idea. No, it's got to be me and my girlfriend. No, I don't have one. Me and my children, I like this. But what matters to me is that they give you choice like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
And that's what he talks about. That's what Tim talks about. And that means customer satisfaction is really great. And remember, they're like number one everywhere in the world. But no, we have to like Xiaomi. I'm not a Xiaomi kind of guy.
We'll wait to see if they can make it 12 in a row. Speaking of popular consumer brands, Lulu beats guides above $1 billion buyback. Plans to raise prices on about 10% of its styles.
No problem. That was some comp. Oh, my. They got an analyst meeting coming up. I thought this was one of the greatest conference calls. They've got new styles that are selling immediately. They have no resistance to higher prices. It was a tour de force conference call, and I think the people who sell that are just going to get bushwhacked. I really liked it. Don't forget, they're going to talk positively about the mirror. You know, it had been Black Mirror until now. I think that maybe Mirror is going to be good. You know what? When it first came out, when the numbers first came out last night, people sold it 9 ways to Sunday.
Yep.
Because they simply didn't understand what was going on with the outlook, because they shot first and then they asked questions later. And by the way, if Robinhood, if they open up longer hours, people are going to be short Lulu and then not wait for Calvin McDonald to talk about the unbelievable spring outlook. He's amazing.
Yeah.
That stock can go higher. Remember, that stock wasn't 45, it's at 360. I love that conference call. I felt very good after I shot Calvin a note. It's really
almost the highs for the year on Lulu. Going to take you back to the first week of January.
Matt Boss got that right.
Doesn't quite get to the 200-day. Now, PVH is not going to benefit similarly, although they beat and revenue was ahead.
I don't know. I mean, PVH is so down and out that I'm not sure how bad. I don't think it's going to go back to its low. I mean, the problem was that Tommy Hilfiger domestically was not that good. They also have a cotton problem. Cotton's expensive. But Stefan Larsson is a man of great mystery. He's not come on. It's not like Manny Chirico. He used to come all the time. I'd like to know more about PVH and what's really going on.
Also one of the most leveraged names to Eastern Europe.
Yes, it is. And Europe was actually quite good versus the United States. I was surprised the United States. It was almost as if somehow traded. I mean, Macy's is a big PVH play. I think Macy's is having a good quarter. So I found it mystifying that United States was so weak. And I think that Stefan, it's time for the first Stefan Larsson to come on air. Manny never missed a quarter ever since when Mad Money started.
He was a regular.
Yeah,
Manny.
He was a regular. I remember I was having dinner with my nephew, who's my head writer and only writer, and Manny was next to us. We had just started the show, and I think he was like kind of blown, like everybody else is kind of blown away by my nephew and how brilliant he is. But we were talking. He says, "I think I should come on your show," and then he never missed. Meanwhile, as soon as he retired, Stefan Larsson, I don't know. I mean, could be hiding in a Hilfiger. You know, they have that knot. What is that thing called when you got the thing? The
Tommy.
Braid?
Tommy was up 18, by the way.
Yeah, that was good.
Calvin,
but not domestically, I don't know. Look, Klein is good. I really root for these guys. And the reason I root for them is that they are American. I mean, of course, the stuff isn't made here. But, I mean, this is like our bellwether. As I feel about RH, that's why I was so upset that Gary was in such a kind of a existential crisis mood. Gary, don't do that. Call me first. You know, I know you had a couple of bad days, but that's what happened with Ethan Allen. They had a couple of bad days, and the stock went down. I want to buy RH when it settles. Now, if it's down 39, it'll probably be down 50 by the end of the day, but RH is going to have a huge spring. And Gary, stop talking about, when they're going to get... Hey, you know what? Start loving the bomb.
Yeah, how I learned to love the bomb. Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's going to take you, even though it's down 10%, maybe a 2-week low at this point.
I know,
point
and
for
Janet
RH.
Yellen, she doesn't mean bad. She's doing her best. Like,
although, I mean, I know you saw mortgage apps.
Oh, my God.
Purchase down 10 now.
Week after week after week.
This is the biggest weekly jump in the 30-year fixed in 11 years.
Yeah, and the mortgage rates have really gone up. And it's kind of, if you didn't refinance, it's just kind of over. The numbers... The housing numbers, this is the problem that we have with KBH. Why are they building? You know, they're sitting there and buying more and more land. Wait a second, let's put everything on pause because I think that's the weakness part of the economy. Now, one of the problems is remember you mentioned that that Jay may get it wrong is their primary thing. Jay, it's working for Jay. It's working right now for Jay. Unfortunately, when you look at Williams-Sonoma stock or RH, that means that they get hit inordinately. But Jay's got it going. And I think one of the things that was most encouraging about my swan song interview with Fred Smith is he's saying we're going to have autonomous long-haul trucks. Now, I don't think you're going to look at a truck over there and say, woo. But I do think that one of the things that really hurt our country was when was a safety decision that was right, because you never want to cut back on safety, of how many hours long-haul truckers can drive.
Yes.
But if you have autonomous long-haul trucker and you have a driver and you can have a trucker next to it, then maybe they can extend the hours again, which would be really good.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe. I mean, safety never takes a vacation and you never went. I was once on they're against us on MSNBC. I never like to mention anybody's against us. And I was talking about the inn that at that point I owned. And I said, you know, one of the things that really happened that cost us was the sprinkler system. It really cost us a lot. And the host correctly said, well, you want to cut back on safety? No, I don't want to cut back. Morning Joe is terrific, and I love him. But it did sound like I wanted to cut back on safety, and you can't.
Yeah. No, we did. Trucking is maybe one of the hottest parts
that
of
is.
Labor tightness. There's no question.
Every time you hear it, that and whatever's going on the ports, they have to radically change this July 1 deadline by the longshoremen, historically the most radical.
Yeah, you've mentioned it a couple times.
Union. It's going to be a real showdown. And I think the president's going to have to get directly involved.
Yeah. Transports, though, don't seem to mind.
Well, they make, you know, they can make a lot of money. They pay their truckers far less than they make, and that's why there's this tremendous move by truckers in threes and fours to break off of large trucking companies, get their own insurance,
sure,
and become trucking. There's some tremendous entrepreneurialism going on right now in truckers, where they're quitting the big truckers to create their own companies,
sure,
and getting 110,000
and more efficient compensation for their time.
Like, a lot of people are upset that some people in the economy are getting more money than they used to. I'm not. What I am upset about is just the cost of food is so high, and that's something Jay can't take care of. And it only gets worse. Ukraine-Russia is a humanitarian disaster and an economic disaster. We saw the news out of Germany cutting back. I have Tellurian on tonight. We can supply enough nat gas, but do you know that GE has not gotten the big nat gas turbine orders? I always have to say it like two. They're the only guys. When Larry Culp's done remaking this company, he's got to make it so it's not T-U-R-B-A-N, but T-U-R-B-I-N-E.
Yeah.
But right now, we've not gotten the orders that I thought would have happened, both nuclear or nat gas over in Europe.
Culp's one of those executives who got pressure on compensation and gave back, I believe.
Right. That's why I think Pat Gelsinger.
And you think Gelsinger will do the same?
Sure. I mean, Pat's a great guy. And he came in. The stock was at 62. Now it's at 52, which is a big run. Pat's got one of the biggest pay packages. He's a gent. He's honest. He's earnest. Great time to cut your pay. To give some money back.
Separate from that, though, does the original package, the way it was constructed, suggest to you that Comp remains broken?
No. The suggestion was that Intel's board remains broken and they couldn't get anybody good, because the company had been run into the ground by the previous CEOs, and it's a disaster.
International, you think it was a hard
disaster.
Job to fill, given
it's been an international disaster, if not a disgrace,
yeah,
versus what we all remember from Craig Barrett, what we all remember from Andy Grove. This is just a company that was a once great company, and it is painful. I mean, look at NVIDIA. You want a great company? Look at NVIDIA. Look at that market cap of NVIDIA. Look at what they're doing in terms of the areas that they're dominating and crushing everybody else. That's how you get to $700 billion. I'm not insulting Intel. The great Andy Grove once quoted a piece that I wrote in the annual report, and I was quite grateful. And I helped run some of their treasury money, and my largest investor in my hedge fund was the fifth guy along. But they are not who we think that they are. Not who we think they are. And I have to tell you that Pat Gelsinger, this is a terrific time for him to come on Tech Check, which I love. Go sit down with Deirdre or John of Fort Knox and say, you know what, I was paid too much and it's time to give back. Maybe give back to Ukraine, to the refugees,
yep,
I'm going to do.
We'll see. The comp, though, made some headlines today, 170 plus.
Oh, it seems great. Look, if the stock were up 10, I wouldn't be talking like this.
Yeah.
No, you don't get it from athletes. You wish you did.
No, since he was named, stock's down 17,
right.
S&P's up 21, thanks to Follow the Edge.
I would call that suboptimal.
Yeah. Jim, you mentioned Disney yesterday on the heels of that park presentation. A couple of notes out of Wells and B of A. They actually raised their park numbers.
Right.
Jessica Ehrlich reiterates a buy, 191. They're doing all this with no limited international,
yeah,
limited cruise capacity, limited hotel capacity.
It's time for Nathanson to get a little more bullish. He's been holding back. He's going to be wrong. He should get on the bus. He should get on the Disney bus right now. I think that when I read through the presentations, I thought they were excellent. I think you're so right. This is one-handed. And when they do my plan, five shares, Disney, you get a price reduction in Disney Plus. and you get in early the park. When they do this, not
the,
if.
The shareholder loyalty
not
program.
If, but when they do the shareholder loyalty, then you're going to see the stock spike because then you're going to get long-term individuals. Now, what is the reluctance to do this? Because I said it. You know, had I just told them, just, you know, here, I think this is an idea, they'd take it. But no, when some guy on TV says it, well, it's not good enough. Well, I'll tell you, I ran businesses too. And you want to give loyalty where loyalty's deserved, okay? Talk to Ulta. Talk to Ulta. Ulta's got the best. Anybody who is the Ulta app, I mean, I get things I have no desire for because they're giving me, like on my birthday, they give me give away the store. Come on, Disney. Go to Ulta.
And also the ongoing debate about what their content strategy should be. Should it be broad? Should it be focused?
Right.
Narrow?
Well, how about
margin?
Tonight? You know what started last night is Moon Knight.
Oh,
which
yes.
Which is very dark.
Yes.
Very unfamily-like, which shows me that JPEG is expanding.
The umbrella is getting bigger.
Right?
Yep.
He made that gaffe. He took it back. Not before a lot of people had a little change of heart about the place. But I do think that that was a very well-attended, 100 people, Disney World. And we are king. My Chapel Trust owns it. Nathanson, listen. I know you watch the show. This is your chance to get on board. And then I will thank you and congratulate you, and you'll say, ooh, I feel so much better.
Right now, Dow holding into about a 50-point loss.
Yeah.
And Micron, one of the S&P gainers. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Rare down day here after big momentum the last 2 weeks. We're essentially back to being slaves to oil. Oil at 108. Guess what? We got oil stocks moving. We got metal stocks moving. Those big global cyclical names in the and some few industrial names like Caterpillar also moving to the upside. So oil, metals moving to the upside, tech kind of flattish. Cathie Wood's ARK fund, rare down day. It's been a rocket ship for her. ARKK just been up dramatically in the last 2 weeks, but down today here. New high list kind of looks a little like the old high list. We've had a smattering of new names in the last few days, but we're back to energy stocks, Hess, Pioneer, Valero, Marathon, all new highs there. I mentioned this big momentum. It has been quite a rocket ship in the last 2 weeks. Since the close on the 14th, since the 15th, we're up 11% on the S&P, up 9 of the past 11 days. And the last hours have been remarkable. We closed at or near the highs for the day, 9 out of 11 days. The last hour has been a rocket ship. A lot of momentum. This looks like momentum people just coming in. Commodity trading advisors, retail people, people who trade on momentum, low volatility, prices up, they're momentum people. It's been very interesting to watch this. Just look at what's been moving. It's basically a lot of tech names and consumer discretionary in the last couple of weeks. So ARK Innovation, that's not a typo, 33%. In consumer discretionary, technology up 16%. Consumer staples in the more defensive sectors, they're up, but they're not moving nearly as much. So this is quite interesting to keep an eye on. The market's holding up because there's a better, the economy's going to hold up. It's very simple. Now we're ending the quarter here. We're going into a new earnings season and the numbers are holding up very well. Estimates are first quarter is going to be up 6% year over year. Those are slightly lower than the beginning of the year, but not much. And you see the rest of the year, 2, 3, and 4. The analysts have been actually raising their estimates recently. Overall for 2022, we're expecting up about 8%. The average, historic average is 6 or 7%. So we're not far from that. Remember, we've had an extraordinary year in 2021. Well, so what's next? I think the important thing here is the big winners and losers we're going to see. You were talking about amazing numbers for the energy companies. That is not a typo. 228% increase in overall for the energy sector year over year. Exxon, these companies are just gushing money, and they're trying to figure out how to return all of it to shareholders, either dividend or some kind of buybacks, for example. There are a few sectors that are seeing their earnings coming down. Airlines, casinos, hotels, some of the retailers. You saw Five Below, some of the comments today with them. Amazon, Meta. So keep an eye on some of these numbers here and watch what they're going and seeing here. As far as what we're going to see for the second, third quarters, there are a whole divergence of opinion. So where are you on the growth slowdown? That's going to be the major question. There are people who think we are, and they're trying to argue that the numbers should be lower for the second and third quarter. And the other people who say it's not. The cost pressures, obviously, so these essentially taxes on food and energy costs, a tax on the consumer overall, Ukraine. And, of course, the Fed aggressiveness is the major issue. I guess what I'm saying here, Carl, is there is a very wide divergence of opinions on where these are going to go, and that's going to impact the second and third quarters. So there's a lot of confusion about how reliable second and third quarter estimates are right now. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob, thanks for that. Bob Pisani. Quick reminder here, you can always get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Jim. Sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/join the club or just use the QR code on your screen. Before we go to break, watch bonds. We did get final GDP for Q4 this morning. 6.9, not far from the prior estimate. Final core PCE was 5. They did mark down personal consumption a bit to 2.5 from a prior 3.1, and the 10-year is right around 2.4. Be right back. Very busy day in the energy complex. We're going to get a House hearing on gas prices later on. OPEC Plus, of course, tomorrow. We'll get some inventory numbers and ongoing developments regarding Europe's ability to wean itself from Russian supply. For now, though, crude back up $4 to 108.40. We'll continue in just a moment. Don't go away. Jim, what's tonight?
Right, we got Paychex, good look at the economy. Gary Friedman, please listen up. And then Tellurian. Okay, so Sharif Suki was the first guy to realize we had more liquefied natural gas than we could use. And I think he'll tell us what's going on worldwide, particularly with Germany. He knows everything.
You did include it in names that you favored. Yeah.
Now, he was at one point the highest paid CEO, but he made a ton of money. He should not have given it back. But again, I will applaud Pat. He's earnest, Pat Gelsinger, when he gives his money back. And Nathanson, I don't think I'm going to get my Disney upgrade. But when Disney does my plan, my affinity plan, this stock will fly.
It all began right here.
Right here. It doesn't have to be invented by them.
We'll see you tonight, Jim. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.